Blog Talk Radio.
Diane Barrelton with the International Women's Flag Football Association, IWFFA, and I am currently on our 2010 IWFFA promotional tour in Scandinavia. And today I'm in Norway, Grimstad, and I have my special guest is Rigmor Caspersen, who is a new player, who is also the coach of the newly formed team, the Grimstad Octopussies,
yeah, that's right,
which is a great name that these women have decided upon. And I just want to give a little background information for our listeners, Riggy, about this area. You know, we came into Grimstad for the first time, and my cousin lived here, and he helped us in the beginning. We took out an ad in the newspaper. I came for a week earlier, and our very first training was very successful. We had 23 participants. Now, that included also young boys, young girls, and their mothers, which made it really fun and special, cozy, I think, for the women. But certainly we had over, I think it was 16 women, and one of the women on the team was the sister, or she was the soccer player on the national team. So so the point is that they were really fine athletes. So our first training was very successful and promising, and then Riggy here, her name is Riggy, because there's two Rigmors. Riggy has volunteered to be the coach for the team, and Rigmor has volunteered to be the manager. And I think that has been the promise for this team to be very successful. So let me ask you a few questions now, Riggy. First of all, where were you born? You're not from Grimstad.
No, I'm from northern Norway, up in Tromsø, down by the Arctic Circle.
By the Arctic Circle.
Yeah,
okay.
Just a little bit further north, actually.
So you have midnight sun there, right?
Yep.
Oh boy, that's wild, because when you have that midnight sun, it's 24-hour sun in the summertime, and it's 24-hour misery darkness in the wintertime.
Yeah,
that right.
Yeah, in the wintertime you got about an hour with the sun hour.
Wow.
Or daylight, I should say,
yeah.
Not the sun.
But doesn't that get depressing?
No.
No.
I'm used to it.
But
yeah, and when you really don't notice until the daylight come back, you suddenly get this air bubbles in your blood, and you're just alive again. But during the winter, you don't notice because it happens so slow.
Oh, slowly but surely. Okay, yeah. That's interesting. Okay. So now, let me ask you a couple of questions. How did you find out about the flag football?
It was on May 17th, the National Day of Norway, and I met you, Diane.
Mm.
You were with some friends of mine, And you were telling me about this game, and I was thinking, this sounds interesting. I want to try it. So you showed me some web page where I could find out some more.
Yeah.
And we came for the first training.
Were you able to see any of our videos on the website before you came to the first training?
Yeah, we saw many of the videos, and it was, I think it was helping a lot to understand more what the game was about.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was also kind of scary because some of the players are very good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought watching the video from the younger players was the best thing.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes for the beginner to imagine themselves playing such a high level on those IWFFA videos that anyone can see clicking on our website or YouTube. As a matter of fact, we are posted on YouTube. If you just do a Google search IWFFA, you see some of the best teams in the world.
Yeah,
and that can certainly be intimidating. But we have, in our largest tournament in Key West, the Kelly McGillis Classic, we have different divisions, and there is a beginner's division.
Yeah.
And so that's where most of our Scandinavian teams fall under when they first begin to play. And then as they progress, they certainly advance. But then, for the first training now, so it's a new sport to you. Your first impression is the videos, and you saw some really tough teams. Thank goodness for the girls' team. You got a better hope that you could play this game just as well. But what was your first training like?
It was very much fun. We did have a lot of laughing, and but everything was kind of confusing because I don't know anything about this sport. I've never seen an American football game or anything. So. So everything was new, and using a foreign language, and
right.
Yeah. But after a while, you got the hang of it, little by little. So you got better. And I think the first training was a lot of fun. And after I had the first training, I was thinking, this I want to do more of. It was real fun.
You know, it was fun. It was interesting too because we had no idea. I certainly had no idea what kind of a response we would get from Grimstad, this city town in Norway. It really was up in the air. We had no idea. And there were so many players. I remember we had to open up a new package of belts and flags and put them together very quickly because there were so many players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we are about 40 people or more that have come by the training and tried out and see whatever this is all about.
Wow.
And some of them, unfortunately, can't come for more training because they already are occupied with other sports. But some of them think this is so much fun, they are coming back.
But I think it's interesting, too, in the culture in Scandinavia. You know, you take a sport as a young child and you develop it and you stick with it. And what I find is that when you have a football player, soccer player, or a handball player, many times that's their only dedicated sport. They will not, my findings is that they will not try another sport. But here in this town, like you say, you've had 40 different women come. And so maybe there's something different with Grimstad, different mentality or something like that. But, well, maybe it was you and Rigmore who also made it attractive for the women. They see it as organized and something new and different. That, but anyway, so
yeah. But I think also that I say to everybody, we are here to have fun.
Yeah,
we are here to play and toss the ball around, and we are, you know, good companions with other women. And do have a good laugh during the training, and then it will be fun, and people will come back.
Yeah, to make it fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't make it so serious until you have at least shown them the skills, shown them how to play the game, and then you can take it to the next level. I think that's what's been most fun. Also allowing the women to bring their daughters or their sons.
Yeah.
And they can participate, and that's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and the women yesterday when we had a practice there, they said, oh, I hope we can manage to get enough women and enough girls so we can start a young girls team.
Wonderful. That's
so they're hooked. Like me.
That is wonderful. So, and Ricky, you have a good arm. Is there any position that you are vying for? Any position that you like more than any other?
No, I think all the positions are fun. My body's a bit heavy, so I don't think I should do all the running. So maybe I will be better as a quarterback or center or on the line.
Okay, but there is something that's happening here in Rundstedt, and that is the center, the snap. Yes, so
yeah.
It's not so easy to get some of the women to play that position.
No, we are not used to taking the ball there. So but I think after we practice sometime, we get to know each other better, and it won't be a problem.
Exactly.
So it just
that's right.
Now in the beginning, it's kind of awkward because many of these women have never seen each other before.
Yeah.
So we're all strangers, and then, yeah.
And then when the QB takes the snap, and there's a hand right there. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's been a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah, okay. So that's fun. But now we are trying to get a team now for the first competition here in the Oslo tournament, which is coming up June 25th, 26th, and 27th. That's just next week, really.
Yeah.
And so we've got teams from Sweden, Norway, and Denmark. And Riggy here is trying her best now to bring the team from Rundstedt.
Yeah.
So that would be very interesting, and I think that was a smart move as part to make it part of our promotional tour. I have to give credit to Auto Diamond, Diamond Auto Body Store. That's John Harrison from the Blue Thunder women's play football team in Virginia. Their team from the U.S. came to that Oslo tournament, and they really dominated the Oslo competition. And this year when he spoke to me, he was very impressed with the Scandinavians, how warm and welcoming they were. He wanted to do more for the sport. And so he and I thought what best way to support the Scandinavian women was to for his company to sponsor that Norway tournament so that it's a free registration. And all of these new teams like Grimstad, like in Varberg, Halmstad, Gothenburg, Stockholm, Uppsala, Moss, Oslo, they get a chance to come into this tournament for free. And so I got to give a special thanks to John Harrison and his company. So with that, how do you think, first of all, okay, let me backtrack a little bit. The team name.
Yeah, Grimstad Octopuses.
What is, okay, Octopuses, that's very interesting. How did you come up with that name?
You know, my girlfriend, she's likes words.
Mm-hmm.
And she found out that the octopus has eight legs.
Uh-huh.
And we're eight players on the field.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually kind of mean because everybody else got panthers and tigers. But octopuses are really mean. They can kill people.
Uh-huh.
So you shouldn't be too safe when the octopuses are near.
Uh-huh. So that's kind of like you're giving everyone warning that the team is going to be not so easy, but more on the tough side.
Yeah, and but of course, and it's a woman's game for us.
Mm.
And pushes it, yeah.
Okay, I think we got that quickly.
That was the first thing I got.
Yeah. But okay. So how successful do you think the flag football will be, Grimstad?
I think it's going to be very successful.
Uh-huh.
My hope is to get enough people for one team, and I think we got it already.
Yeah.
And my next goal is to start to try to get another team in the nearest city.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're going to bring them out to our practice. They come to us and we teach you and have fun with us.
Uh-huh.
And after when we get someone who is thinks this is very fun,
uh-huh.
trying to make their own team there so that we can have a little bit of
competition.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you would the competition camaraderie. And that's the one thing in Scandinavia, I must say, tell all our listeners, it is unique because America is so large with our flag football players. Scandinavia is much smaller, and all of the flag football players are friends. All of the flag football players have this special camaraderie that is so unique. I've never seen this. Even, you know, as a rugby player, there's a special camaraderie, something special for the sport, but There's something quite different here in Scandinavia that I think is very impressive. So it'll be wonderful to see in the football tournament for these new teams to meet and greet each other. I should tell everyone that Grimstad has IWFFA Facebook.
Yeah.
And it is a fun Facebook. It's really, really well done. You have videos posted, photos. You have some lot of interactive stuff. To whose credit?
I have to say to my wife, Vigmo.
Okay.
She has done all the pages and the pictures, and she's the manager of the team.
Uh-huh.
And she emails everybody, and she's doing a very good job.
Yeah.
Right now, as you are speaking, she's trying to make a place that we can train during the winter, because we're in Norway, so we get a lot of snow during the winter.
Uh-huh.
We need to be indoors sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking about getting some place and getting someone to sponsor us.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
See what happens with that. But she's very good, so I think she'll going to make it work.
Yeah. Her as the manager, you as the coach, and the energy that I've already seen here in Grimstad from the women, I know it's going to be a huge success. Also, it was interesting because you had said that Rigmor, a woman, is your wife.
Yeah.
And people have to understand that in Scandinavia, it is common. It is women can marry women and men can marry men. That's kind of strange for the many of us in America. So that was that's interesting for sure.
Yeah, it's not so long time ago we couldn't marry.
Mm-hmm.
We just could have a partnership.
Uh-huh.
But now we are equals as straight couples.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I think, a year-old law.
Oh, really? It's only been around for a year?
Yeah, the one that you can marry on the same term as a
heterosexual couple.
Yeah.
Who marry. Very interesting. But okay, would you like to say anything else to our listeners about the Grimstad octopuses?
Yeah, just be afraid of us, because maybe we're coming with you in Florida.
Aha, there we go. All right, everybody. Listen, thanks so much, and I hope you have a great show. Take it easy now. Bye-bye.
Oh, thanks, Diane. That was Diane with the IWFFA, and she sounds like she's having a great time over there in Europe. She's doing a great job for us two ladies. I understand that she has started 7 new teams since she's been over there just in Norway and Sweden. So great job, Diane. I'm glad to hear from you. This is Nance Warnes with the Kansas City Storm women's football team, and I have a special guest with me today. I'm actually in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And I'm joined today by Jenny McNulty.
Hello.
Jenny plays for the California Quake, the tackle team there.
I do.
And she spends majority of your summer here in P-Town, right?
Yeah, I'm here. I got here July 4th, and I'm here through Labor Day doing comedy shows and talking about football in the show and trying to recruit women for my team.
Fantastic. So how long have you been coming to P-Town?
This is my fifth summer here.
The fifth summer. Well, you know, we have a flag football tournament coming up in P-Town. It's coming up it's the fifth annual, and it's September 18th through the 19th. And so I know that it sounds like the tournament's been going on for about as long as you've been going here. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about what you like about this place? And if someone's thinking about bringing their team here, what tips do you have for them?
You know what? This place is really, there's something kind of magical about it. It's literally at the very, very tip of Cape Cod. It's kind of the tip of the universe. The beaches here, which in September are still, you know, it's still warm. It's still nice, a nice place to go. And, you know, it's a place where you can kind of be yourself. There's all different kind of people here. There's all different walks of life. It's people that are vacationing, people that have summer homes here. Like I said, the beaches are just gorgeous. It's a protected shoreline, so there's nothing on them. There's no hotels. There's no, no commercialized things. It's just the beach and the dune, and it's a very a really nice place to reflect, and it's they've got great bike paths, so I'm rehabbing my knee on the bike paths and having a good time here.
Rehabbing your knee? Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, kind of chronic use from playing every sport imaginable since I was a little girl. I got a little bit of arthritis going on in there, so I've been kind of rehabbing that a little bit. And doing some comedy shows, trying to make people laugh.
Oh, yeah, Jenny does a great show here every summer, and we hope to get her back, perhaps maybe even in September. And we're also talking to her about potentially making the trip to Key West for the big tournament down there. So if you guys are interested in getting Jenny down to Key West to help make your week memorable, the one, be sure and email Diane at IWFFA@IWFFA.com. And make sure you let her know that Jenny would be a great addition to the week's festivities.
That's a great plan.
Yeah. So you told us about a little bit about why, if you have a flag football team, why you want to come to P-Town. It is a great, great this town. Also, if you don't have a team and you're what they call a loose woman, you can sign up for the tournament. So if you have any advice for the loose women that might be coming in September,
please come see my show if you're a loose woman. Make sure you give me your email address, your phone number, and all those good things.
What is your email? Do you have a website, Jenny?
I do, JennyMcNulty.com.
Okay, there you go. So you can contact Jenny there. And
even if you're not a loose woman, you can still contact me.
So you're a tackle football player.
I
so,
do. I
so
plan.
How did you get started? You get started with flag or
no? No, no. You know what? I was at Long Beach Pride, and they had my team, the California Quake. We had a booth there, and I was shocked. I had no idea it even existed. I'm like, oh my God, a women's show. This is going to be fantastic. And they had I live in West Hollywood, and the team was based in Long Beach. And they had a tryout on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m., and I thought, oh, good Lord. That's a half an hour away at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. But I thought, you know what, it'll be fun. I'll get some material out of it. I'll have a good afternoon throwing the football around. And that was 9 seasons ago, and I'm still playing. So it's been really just an amazing experience for me. It's I've played every sport you can play. I've been on softball teams. I've been, you know, I've played rugby. I've played anything you can imagine. I've done it. And football is just something very special. I couldn't quite hear all of it, but I heard someone previously mentioning camaraderie, and I think that's really what speaks to me about football. It's a different kind of team than I've ever been on. It really does feel like a family. You know, sometimes it's dysfunctional, but it feels like a family nonetheless. And I don't know if that comes from the fact that it's such a grueling sport and that you're really kind of putting everything out there, or that it's so time-consuming. You know, you practice quite a few days a year, a week, and it's a really, really special bond. And what I like about it, too, is that it's unlike any other team I've been on in that it's not the same homogeneous group of women. You know, every other softball team I've played on or soccer team that I've played on has been basically my same age, race, you know, mm-hmm. socioeconomic status. Where with football, you know, I kind of joke we have cops, drug dealers, you know what I mean? One of our gals on our team was a PhD that worked at, you know, at JPL, and, you know, it's just a really, really amazing group of women, and it's just so much fun. I really, really enjoy it.
That's tremendous. So 9 years, Jenny, that's incredible, because as the owner of the Kinsey Storm, I've seen a lot of women, you know, come and go and watch that roster. Mm-hmm. And I would say most women probably last, you know, 2 to 3 years, you know,
yeah.
And then they go on to something else. So what do you attribute your longevity to?
Well, I miss a lot. You know, I did stand up, and that's honestly that pays the bills. So I've got to leave a lot. I usually miss at least 2 or 3 games a season. I miss this year was really bad. I think there's probably only 1 week that I made all the practices that week. So I do miss a lot. So that certainly saves on the body. And I also play DB, which, you know, I'm not on the line. I'm not getting beaten up every day. I'm not a running back. I don't know how the hell they do it. You know, yeah, heck, sorry. I don't know how they do it. It's they're constantly brutalized, you know, whereas we're not, you know, we're the ones doing the hitting. We're not hitting, mm-hmm. So it's not as bad. And like I said, I you know, I don't know. I've been lucky. I've been very lucky in that I haven't, you know, knock on wood, I haven't been injured, mm-hmm. you know, seriously. Just the chronic arthritis. But.
Right. Well, that's great. And that's great to be able to participate that long, because I know veterans and having experience is great. If any of you guys are interested in seeing a video, I'm sure they're available for sale on her website. She's got a great video about her highlights of her career.
It's definitely
worth a look at. So
and it is comedy. It is very much comedy. My highlights are truly comedic.
So you need to check that out at her website, www.JennyMcNulty.com.
Yeah, JennyMcNulty.com.
Okay. Very good. So so you didn't start playing flag. I kind of look at flag football as a good way to either start a career or end a career.
You know what? I tell you what. I have talked to a lot of women that have played both. They've played tackle and they've played flag. And they said that in a lot of ways flag is rougher. It's worse because you're still pushing, you're still shoving, you're still throwing elbows, but you're not protected. You're not wearing any of the pads. So in some ways it's more a little bit more intense than tackle.
Oh, I think definitely, yeah. That definitely, and the competition that Diane's able to draw at her tournaments is great. So, again, if you guys are interested in getting your teams involved or just coming as booth women, it's a great time to come and see how you measure up and participate because it's a great sport and it is rough. They do get pretty intense. And
there's a big range though of abilities in the team.
Exactly. There's a big range, and especially knowing that Key West tournament, she is able to create divisions. And so you need to always keep that in mind, and don't be intimidated to come down and see how you do. It's just a great week for everybody. So.
Well, I think too football in general is such a, there's a woman on my team that plays on the line, and she said that what she found really remarkable about football was that it was the first time in life she was valued for her size.
Hmm.
You know, in any other respect, women are always supposed to be small and fit into a size, whatever, whereas with football, it's like, hey, you're a big girl, come play with us. So it's a chance for women to be who they are regardless of their size or their abilities or whatever. For a lot of times you'll have women on the team that have never played sports before organized sports. We had one gal on our team. In fact, her husband recommended. She goes, oh, I think you try this. She had never played the game. She didn't know the rules of the game. And within a couple of seasons, she was actually one of our better players. She just really was a natural athlete that hadn't really ever, experienced it before and hadn't really developed that aspect of her life before.
You talk about natural athletes. I know the Kansas City Storm has had a lot of luck recruiting just that, women that might have been homeschooled or came from rural areas that didn't offer sports.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of athletic women out there that were busting at the chops to be able to play team
mm-hmm.
sports and never had the opportunity. And so they go out to, maybe they move to the city or near the city, and then they start playing, and they try to play softball or soccer, and these women out there have had 10 or 15 years experience on them and they just really can't compete. But football is a sport where, like I said, the average tenure is somewhere between 2 and 3 years. So they can come in and without a lot of time, it's a great equalizer that they can come and participate and contribute.
And you don't have to have a specific skill either. If you're just really big and strong, we can put you on the line. If you're really super fast, we can make you be either, a receiver or a running back. So there's a lot of different skills, and a lot of times people don't even know they have the talents that just all of a sudden become, wow, hey, look what I can do. I can catch, I can kick. A lot of women come from soccer that are, become good kickers. We had a woman kick a 43-yard field goal in one of our games, which is a pretty darn good kick.
Wow, that's incredible.
She's a soccer player. So and a lot of times people just go, wow, you mean I can hit somebody and get away with it? And what's really fun is to watch women who were a little bit, kind of diminutive and a little bit shy, and then within a couple of games, they're just these, kind of brutes. It's really sort of fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they catch on, and there's a lot of intrinsic advantages too of women just come out that they want to lose weight or they just want the camaraderie or whatever, and all of a sudden they're football players. So
mm-hmm.
that's always good to see. On the tackle side, and we'll get back to the flag football here soon, but on the tackle side, we went through a recent international tournament that was new for us. And basically, I know that the Americans did very, very well.
Yes,
and I know that we spent a lot of money getting people over there and getting that all pulled off. And you know, the European teams weren't as advanced, and I'm not sure that we really proved a lot out of that. What do you think of that? My personal take on it is there's a lot of money to spend. We should have been finding better ways to promote our own sport within our own, within the United States. There's probably tens of thousands of dollars spent for that. Do you think it was worth it?
I do. I think because you're making it, it's now worldwide, and it's now you're opening the game up, and if people haven't heard of it, they haven't heard of it. So when they do learn about it, and they learn that not only there are teams here, but that there are teams that played internationally, and you just look at basketball or any of the other sports that we've excelled in that we've, you know, taken overseas now. So if you look at, for example, in the men's league, in the NBA, they're developing over there, and now some of our better players are coming from those leagues. And the more press it gets, and sometimes you have to go outside your own backyard to get any kind of publicity or any kind of respect, you know. So it's I definitely think it was well worth it, and it was great for these women. I mean, you're looking too, is it not just for the sport itself, but for the individual women that are playing? I mean, you go from some women that have never been on a plane before to these women being able to go to Sweden and play in a game and go to a country and really expand their lives in a way that is way more important than football. And there are not a whole lot of things more important than football.
Well, and that's why I got to applaud Diane for her efforts being over in Europe for these last few months. And like I said, she has started some 7 new teams over there. And I know that when the teams come to Key West and come to the United States to play, they are pretty competitive. So she is definitely starting something good over there, and it's taking hold and seems to be pretty popular. The next tournament, just to let everybody know, is in Gothenburg, Sweden, and that's September 4th and 5th, and that's the 10th annual tournament there. So that's great that's been going on that long. And, of course, we already mentioned a couple weeks later, September 18th and 19th, here in P-Town, Massachusetts, will be the 5th annual tournament. That might be a little bit more reachable for your team. Mm-hmm. And so and
not really. You got to take a ferry and a bus and a train and everything. It's hard to get here. It's worth it when you get here, but it's hard to get here.
It sure is. There's a lot of different ways to get into Boston, but after that, it's kind of tough. So, yeah, you're right. I think that Diane's doing a good job getting that international flavor for flag football, and it's probably a good thing that for tackle we're starting to reach over the pond and kind of and show them, you know, new sport and spend some time with them. So that's a kind of a neat thing there. As far as if you're on the East Coast, Diane wanted to make sure that you knew that she is doing some clinics on the East Coast after the P-Town tournament. And if you're interested, in the New Jersey area, she has a flag football training for beginners, and she's doing that on August 3rd. So that's your birthday? Happy birthday. Come back to the East Coast.
I'll be here. I'll be in P-Town.
Oh, you will. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. So check out the IWSFA website, and there's more information there about that if you're interested, August 3rd in the New Jersey area. And if you're on the East Coast or you have a team or want to get a team started, she's available to do other beginning training if you can just schedule that with her. And she's willing to go in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut anytime the last week in July or the first week in August. So if that August 3rd time frame doesn't work for you and you'd like to come and schedule her to come to your area for a beginner's flag football course, she's willing to do that. So definitely check out the website also there. Send her an email, and we'll get something set up. So those are kind of the highlights there. So let's talk about also the playoff structure, because I know that the leagues are going through some playoffs now. We kind of took a break when we went over to Europe and did that. Playoffs are one of those things that for women that fund so much of this, our tackle football, and I know for flag football it's the same situation. We just don't have the sponsorship base built up yet. And the postseason is tough on teams because there's not it's hard to budget because you don't know how you're going to do, and all of a sudden you're stuck with some pretty substantial bills. Did you think that that's a good thing that we should be doing and continue to play several postseason games and crown the national championship, or should we look more at the BCS style where you pair up some people, do a bowl game, and then you kind of vote on a national champion?
No, I don't like the BCS in college. I don't like. I think you have to. You got to play the game to see which team is better when push comes to shove, and it is expensive, and it's going to continue to be expensive. But you have to start somewhere, and you have to continue to build this and make this be something that people really look forward to doing, and then you just have to kind of figure out a way to budget that into your plans. I mean, you look at even Billie Jean King when she started the WTA, she had to sacrifice a lot to do that. So there's sacrifices that we who are starting things have to make. And the more and more, I look at my own team, and I look at the way that my team has progressed in the last few years, and the amount of talented younger players we're getting. And it's because people are starting to hear about it. And it's going to take time for people to hear about it. It's going to take a couple of stories being written. It's going to take a couple of players being really good that just stand out, that draw attention to things. And the more attention that is drawn, and sponsored, the money is out there. The money is there to be had. If you want to find a sponsor, if you really, really work to get sponsorships, or if you know people out there that support women and support women's athletics, have them jump on board, because there's something about, I do not believe, I do stand up. I've been doing stand up forever. That's how I make my living. And I do not for a minute believe I would be a stand up comedian today had I not played sports as a little girl. And I was the first of a lot of teams. I was one of the first beneficiaries of Title IX. I was, my junior high basketball team was the first time they had girls play junior high basketball. And so there have to be firsts, there have to be sacrifices, and it's going to cost us a lot of money. But in the long run, it's going to be worth it, and it's going to bring a sport to women. It's going to make them feel empowered in a way that you don't get from other activities. And I think just a bunch of people voting on who did what is silly. I don't think people like the BCS in college, and I don't think it's something we need to adopt now too. It's you just got to kind of budget it into your plans that you may need to come up with some money or come up with some sponsorship money for plane tickets or for what have you. And we do our best to keep things regional. We do our best to keep things within the same general area so it's not too bad. I mean, and if you have to drive, you have to drive. If you have to take a long bus ride, you have to take a long bus ride. It's part of what you're doing to play the game. But what you get out of it is so much more than money.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You hit on something there, sponsorships. I think that is something that is important to both the tackle teams and the flag football teams is we end up having to travel a lot, and sponsorships are so important. I'm trying to think of some examples and some ideas that we can give the people listening, the women listening, to bring back to their own teams for sponsorships. I know the Storm has done some things, and we've actually brought in Jenny McNulty. Came to Kansas City last year,
she did
her own show as a sponsor and as a fundraiser. And I am sure that she'd be willing to do that for other teams.
Of course, yes.
She brings football into her comic, and her comic routine, and it was a great evening. So that was kind of a creative fundraising that we did last year. We've done bowling outings, and we've done a lot of different things, golf tournaments. Yes, and so we'd like to hear from you guys as far as what some suggestions that you can give to other teams for sponsorships, things that you can offer your sponsors, and other fundraising activities. Jenny, what kind of things does the California Quake do?
We've done a couple of things. We had, you get the patches on the uniform. As much as I hate some of the NASCAR-looking uniforms that have come out, as the WNBA drives me insane. I'm from L.A., so the Sparks they don't even say Sparks now. They say Farmers Insurance or whatever the hell the insurance company is. But it's what you got to do to get the bills paid, I suppose. But we've done, paintball tournaments, and, like you said, we've done bowling outings as well. We do the comedy fundraisers. We do, whatever you can think of. And, in fact, some of the fundraising things we did were selling like cookie dough and selling things, and it was funny because they were made for like high school teens. So we're selling things, you know, I'm in my 40s and I'm selling things that on the paperwork says, what's your homeroom number? You know, I'm like, well, geez, I don't even remember what my homeroom was. So, you know, whatever kind of crazy idea you can come up with to make money, or just mainly reach out to people, reach out to people that have money. There are plenty of people that work in big business. There are plenty of people that just happen to have a lot of dough that really support women's athletics. And I think if you speak to them from the place of what it means to the women and what it means to the young girls and what it means to have an opportunity to play something, you know, for me, when I was growing up, there was no WNBA. I played basketball in college or in high school. I played basketball thinking that when I was finished playing basketball in high school or college, that's when I was going to be done playing basketball, where now girls can look and say, hey, I want to be in the WNBA one day. So it's speaking to people that have a vested interest, whether they've got little girls of their own or whether they just support women's athletics. And I think when you look at women's athletics right now, we are still a more pure form of it. You know, you look at the guys out there now, and it's all about the money, and it's all about, you know, they're not even going to college now. They're going right from high school to the pros, and they don't have the maturity. They don't have whatever. They can't dribble with their left hand. They can dunk. They can shoot, but they can't dribble with their left hand. So it's for the people that are real true purists of the game or, like I said, just supporters of women in general, just reach out and tell everyone you know, because most people just don't know it exists. Most people don't know there are women's leagues. Not only do they know that there aren't a league, there are several leagues. There's flag, there's tackle, there's several leagues within each of those divisions. And if you just reach out to people and say, hey, this is really cool, people are willing to support that.
Yeah, I think you hit on a couple things there, and that is that, you know, if you let people know that we're not like the male athlete where they're out there for the big endorsement or the sponsorship or the big tickets. And, you know, we're out there for the love of the game,
absolutely.
You know, to get out
absolutely.
There and we're building great relationships. We're it kind of goes back to those Nike, early Nike commercials I remember when Nike first started to market to women. And it talked
mm-hmm.
about young girls that said if I'm able to play,
forth, yeah,
if you let me
right.
play, I'm
mm-hmm.
less likely to become allow myself to be in an abusive relationship
mm-hmm.
or abuse alcohol or become pregnant before I want to. And there's all these intrinsic and extrinsic benefits
mm-hmm.
to providing these opportunities for women and girls. And I think that's kind of just like you were saying, that's how you need to appeal to these folks. You know, we're not out here with like some of the whiny basketball.
Mm, yeah.
Who was the guy this week?
LeBron.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have an hour long show.
Yeah, that's
play.
Another one. Show BJ, you're gonna have to tee that one up for later. But you know, there's a lot of benefit to supporting women in from a society standpoint in this type of thing. Just the health and the reduced breast cancer potential and so forth. So but you hit on some good things there, Jenny. I appreciate that. You talked about cookie dough. I have to tell you a story about the Kansas City Storm. That was brought forward as a potential fundraiser for us, and I was so against anything perishable. And so they begged off of the cookie dough, but they bought candy bars. So we all had to sell candy bars. And I tell you what, I had the best customer bought all 50 of those candy bars. It took me about 2 months to eat, but I bought all 50 of those damn candy bars. So we didn't do the cookie dough, but we did candy bars.
Well, that was like my first season we did that. I'm like, no. I'm done with that one.
Yeah, I don't have enough freezer space.
We've done like casino nights, things like that. You know, those are fun too. And you know, people usually give the money back that they win, and it's all for a good cause, and it's all to support women living a dream. You know, I never in a million years thought I'd ever be able to play football. You know, I played rugby in college because I thought it's the closest I ever get to playing football. So for me, I started playing at 39.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's you know, it's.
Mm-hmm.
Never, something I never thought.
Like the little girl that was our honorary captain.
Yeah, we actually had a the father of a 8-9-year-old girl emailed me this past season, and he said, my daughter was the only girl that played in this all-boys football league, tackle, and she would love to meet one of your players. Can we arrange that? And I said, well, how about if she comes out to our game? And so she came out to our game. We gave her a jersey. She went out for the coin toss. She was the water girl. And, oh, my gosh, she was on cloud nine. So I got this great email back from the dad about, you know, how appreciative he was that we included her. But the look on her face, it was just incredible. And to know that we were able to provide that for her. And, you know, we provide that for women. You know, like you said, you never thought you'd be able to play. And I was the same way. I never thought I'd be able to play. And all of a sudden when I heard about it, it was like, and every fall when we put the pads on the rookies come out, you kind of do your drills and you hit the blocky pads and you kind of, you start things, and that's okay. But I tell you what, that first practice when they have that helmet on and they can't figure out how the shoulder pad. I'll never forget the one that had it on backwards. Had her shoulder pads on backwards. It was cute. But they do. Their faces just light up, and they know, I never dreamed I'd have this experience. And now to be able to deliver that experience is so fulfilling to me.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
They're very skeptical at first, and then...
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny to you mentioned about watching how people get stronger and get more confident. You always see it, and sometimes you're surprised at who, makes that transition to pads very quickly.
Yeah,
and who is not quite so sure about it, but once they do, and you see them make that transition, and that empowerment and that confidence is a neat thing to be able to deliver.
Well, I thought it was interesting too that, you know, when, like I said, when I was growing up, it was unheard of. Girls could never do those. Girls couldn't even play a lot of sports. We had our softball team played out in the middle of this field that had a bike path going through the middle of the outfield, and the boys' baseball team had the manicured field that we weren't allowed, the gym classes weren't allowed to use, and all those things. Whereas now, some of the girls on our team, like you said, have actually played on their high school teams or have actually played football before. So we have to continue to play. We have to continue to travel and do our games and go overseas. And anything we can do to make this sport bigger and better and more appealing to people is what we need to do. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And if you're out there and you're thinking about starting a team, you know, flag football is a great way to start. Diane will be great, and the IWFFA is a great organization to get you started and to do some training with you and to get you in these tournaments and get the girls exposed to the terminology and the play structure and so forth and the positions without a lot of expense around the equipment and so forth. She does a great job with that. There's tournaments that she houses all throughout the year. Like I said, there's one coming up here in the United States in September. Here in P-Town, Massachusetts, and it'd be a great environment here. You were talking about earlier about facilities. I know that the ones that she secured in Key West are just top-notch, and it's a great experience for the teams. They come down and make effort. You're talking about Cape Cod being kind of hard to get to in Provincetown because, you know, Key West is probably the same type of trip because you fly into maybe Miami or Tampa, or you have that long drive down the Keys, or you can take a flight. But it's well worth the effort to get to that. Key West is a great, great town. And in that February time frame, I'm not sure where you'll be coming from, but the weather's wonderful down there, and they really put on a great week of activities. And talk about the camaraderie, like Diane was talking about in her earlier interview, and Jenny here talked about it too. You definitely compete on the field, but you have a great time off the field, and a great way to make new friends and swap ideas about how to further your team. And
you can see Ernest Hemingway's cat.
Ernest Hemingway's cat?
Yeah.
They're there?
Ernest Hemingway's house is there, and you can tour his house, and there are descendants of his cats, and they all have six toes.
They all have
not all of them, but many of them have six toes. He has six. I forget what there's a word for that. I'm sure you people out there know the word. I didn't know that.
Six-toed cats that are descendants of Hemingway's cats. So you have to take in that. I know I always go to Sloppy Joe's. Have you ever been to Sloppy Joe's
down there?
Of course.
Margaritaville.
Yeah. So lots of...
U.S. is wonderful. Florida is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And that time of year is great. So you guys definitely need to get that on your calendars. If you can't get a team together to get down there, or even half a team together, I know that the IWSFA does a great job of pairing groups together so that they can compete and have a great time. You can always go down as a loose woman and be assigned to a team, and that's another great way to meet people and just to have a great time. So
we call them loose women and not be offended.
No, that's a good thing. That is definitely a good thing. So that's, like I said, that's coming up there in February, so you don't want to miss that. You know, I was sitting here in one of the very few, drinking establishments here along Commercial Avenue in Provincetown this afternoon, and I was telling the patrons there that I was needing to do this radio show, and they said we should talk about fantasy football for women's league. Do you think they were ready to get that started, Jenny?
I detest and despise fantasy football. So if you want to start it, you go right ahead.
Okay.
But I hate the fact that we don't have teams anymore. You know, if you look at the NFL. The free agency, the market, you know, you don't have a team that sticks together for more than two or three or four seasons. And the fact, you know, you're sitting in the sports bar and for 1 minute, you know, the person next to you is for your team and cheering along with you. And the next minute they're cheering for the other guy because they happen to have their, you know, defensive back or what have you. So it's geekdom. It drives me absolutely insane. I do not like fantasy football at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough. And, you know, you hear about people that, you know, put their money in that, and then they pick, and just by the luck of the draw, somebody gets hurt, and it just skews the whole result. So,
football is the most team sport I've ever been on. Football is all about teamwork. You cannot, in any other sport, you know, you look at a right fielder may never touch the ball at all during the game, or the outfielders, they never touch the ball at all during the game. But in football, if all 11 players aren't doing their job, the play will not work. If the linemen aren't blocking, the receiver's not going to catch the pass because the quarterback's going to get sacked. So football is the epitome of a team game. And to take that and try to make it be this individual thing, it drives me crazy. I'm not a big fan. Can you tell?
Yes, I can tell. That's how you really feel, Jenny.
Yeah, right.
Fantastic. Yeah, I understand that. It's tough. And I don't think that people know enough of the individual players, and, you know, stats are so tough to keep. So,
yeah, they really are. And I think, too, that, you know, like you'll have, you know, some teams are better at keeping their stats than others, and they've got, you know, more people there to record them and things. So.
And it definitely takes away from, like you said, the team sport. Football is definitely the epitome of a team, and whether it be flag or tackle. You know, what I like to tell women is so often I'm out there trying to recruit, and they'll say, oh, I can never play. I'm too short, tall, slow, fat, whatever. And, you know, that's one thing about football is there's a spot for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is just a spot for everybody. You get offense, defense, special teams, you know, many, many different positions. And so to be able to offer that opportunity for women is tremendous. And involved oftentimes with other sports teams in the Kansas City area as we try to do, you know, cross promotions and try to support each other. And I'll never forget how discouraged I was one fall when I was holding tryouts and the basketball team was holding tryouts. There's a couple of basketball teams in the Kansas City area that play in the Blue Chip League or Division. Blue Chip League, I guess is what it's called. And it's kind of a developmental for the folks who didn't get drafted out of college to try to work on their skills and perhaps try to get a WNBA. And so I was talking to one of the owners, and I asked her how her recruiting was doing. And this was maybe in that October, November time frame. And she said, well, I'm done. And I said, how could you be done? I need like 50. And she had picked about 10, and then she had about two or three alternates, and then she was done. I couldn't believe it, and you know, it's one thing about, in this case, basketball, you need so few players, and, of course, you have a lot of people with a lot of experience,
mm-hmm.
and so it automatically eliminate so many women from being able to play in that league because they don't have enough experience or there's just not enough spots. But football is a team sport with lots of spots,
mm-hmm.
you know, lots of different options. And even if you've never played, like you said, most people have never played.
Oh, yeah.
And they can still participate and contribute.
Yeah, it's a really, really, it's the most fun I've had, I tell you. It's part of me wishes I would have started a lot sooner, but I'd be probably really beat up if I started a lot sooner. So
yeah, that definitely. So anyway, we're getting ready to end up here, but I just want to leave a couple of notes here. Definitely the dates for the upcoming P-Town tournament are September 18th and 19th, and we're going to be right out here in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And this is a great if you're a tackle team, this is a great off-season activity. If you've got some rookies already engaged, you want to get them started in September, that's a good activity. Obviously, if you're a flag team, this is perfect for you. It's a great place to be in September. It's still hot in a lot of parts of the country, and you don't have a lot of humidity or heat out here on the coastal regions.
Are you guaranteeing that, Nancy?
No, I'm not guaranteeing that. But it's pretty cold now. Didn't you think it was cold?
A meteorologist now. You become the football owner / meteorologist. Predicting a very beautiful 18 to 19 this is September this year.
September, so yes. Come and prove me wrong. And then, of course, the Key West tournament the first week in February is obviously the pinnacle of the flag football season. Down there, and again, that's a great time if you've got if you're a tackle team and you've got some new rookies and you're starting to maybe put people in some new positions. You want to come try them out. That's a great week of bonding and you know trying some new things. Obviously, the flag teams come and you're more experienced in that area. And
it's right after the Super Bowl, so when you're jonesing for the NFL, you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about our league, too, is our league starts right after this season, so you kind of don't miss football. So you,
mm-hmm.
you have the NFL, and then your own season starts, and then there's just a couple of months here where before we're waiting for spring training, and away we go again.
Yes, we do. And if those don't fit your schedule, obviously, if you can't wait till then, mm-hmm. September 4th and 5th over in Sweden, Gothenburg, Sweden, is the 10th annual tournament out there, so that's always available to you, too. So all these tournaments are available to you at the IWFFA.com, and you get some more information there and certainly email with any questions that you have. If you're wanting to make sure that Jenny gets to one of those tournaments and participates in the activities and so forth, make sure you make your request to IWFFA at IWFFA.com. Make sure you know that, let her know that she's very welcome. And, Jenny, I want to thank you for joining us
tonight.
Oh,
my pleasure. My pleasure. I'm always ready to talk about football.
And I think that standing invitation for any teams out there that are looking for fundraisers, unique fundraisers. Like I said, we brought Jenny into Kansas City last year, and it was just a lot of fun. And it's a great, great fundraiser that maybe you haven't looked at before. So definitely give her a call or email at www.jennymcnulty.com.
Jennymcnulty.com, right, yeah.
Thank you very much, BJ.
Thank you, my pleasure.